Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
No, I was looking at the New York skyline. Looks like you guys are going to have a gorgeous few hours.
Gorgeous few hours.
I haven't had a problem with the weather. It's been a little overcast the last couple days, but it hasn't rained.
Supposed to be in the 80s this weekend.
Ooh. I told you a few hours, Jay. You guys are going to have a gorgeous few hours, not a couple days.
He's not wrong, man.
I heard the operative word.
This time of year, in October in New York, when the sun comes out, everyone like runs outside and faces the sun like they're gonna get some sun in 20 minutes before the cloud covers it up.
So you really got to own these fall days out here, man, because you don't get many beautiful days.
Yeah, no. It looks like it's going to turn out to be okay for you guys today. You can go lay out at Central Park on the grass or something.
Lay out.
Key, are you aware of the number of sunny days in L.A.? Do you know like the number that's usually floated around?
It's 365 for me.
It's over 300. It's
really?
It's over 300 sunny days. Yeah.
I can't. Next subject, it's please. True. You're making me depressed.
All right, look, Thursday night football is tonight.
Is there a game?
There is a game, and boy, it's going to be real, real tight. The mighty Philadelphia Eagles take on the up-and-coming Tampa Bay Bucks. So, you know, we'll see what happens if the Bucks can upset the apple cart.
The Fighting Pat Costello is our producer.
Yeah, but Key, you had the Bucks seventh in your real rankings this week, behind the Cowboys, Packers, and Arizona in the NFC. Why'd you have them seventh? It sounds kind of low.
Trying to figure out the algorithm again.
Well, no, you mean seventh in the real rankings, but behind those two or three teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I look, Jay, be quiet. I look at where they're at right now. They're winning games, and there's no question Tom Brady lit up the Miami Dolphins, which were a pretty good defense. But the Bucks are hurting on the defensive side of the ball, and their secondary is one of the biggest issues for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even though they're winning, despite that, because of terrific time, I would say, but when you have those type of injuries continuing to mount up, now eventually they're going to get those guys back, and eventually they're going to rise in the rankings, I believe. But as of right now, if they had to play those teams that I had in front of them, I think that they would lose to those teams, the Arizona Cardinals, the Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay, the Dallas Cowboys, because of the back end of that defense. Even though they beat the Cowboys at the beginning of the year, they left the ball in Tom Brady's hands too long.
That's something the Key's been on, is the back end of the defense pretty much all year, and how it did not pick up where it left off last year, Jay.
Well, you're trying to bring in Richard Sherman on the fly to handle a position, obviously, because you're depleted in your secondary. The Eagles pose a fascinating challenge as well. I mean, considering the way Jalen Hurts can make so many plays with his feet, and he is not afraid to let it fly. Obviously, they're coming off this big win. I think a momentum win for them versus the Panthers, and people are going to say, well, maybe the Panthers' defense isn't just what we think it is. I think the Panthers' defense is what we think it is, and they made some huge additions to that, obviously, with Stephon Gilmore and company. So the Eagles have a legitimate shot, and we talked about this, Key, a multitude of times. When we talk about the NFC East, you sit there, and we know what Dallas is. Obviously, the Giants have had a lot of injuries. We haven't seen them really hit their stride. But the Eagles have always been that one team where you're like, all right, like, yeah, they may be slated fourth at the beginning of the year, but it wouldn't surprise people if they finish second or third. Like, they have that type of talent.
I predicted the Cowboys-Eagles 1-2 in the division. And that's looking like that's the way it's shaping up, is that they could potentially be 1-2. Well, I know the Cowboys are going to be one, and the Eagles are probably going to fight for that second spot within the division. And it doesn't look pretty and clean, right? The Eagles still kind of look a little new. They're trying to understand what it is that they need to do on the offensive side. They got a young head coach, a young quarterback, but that's okay. As long as they keep scrapping and fighting, and in the end they put these wins together, it's a long damn season to go. Seasons. This
what
is,
do you think
we're
of Sirianni so
part.
Far, Key? Like, I remember looking
I mean,
at.
Fine.
I remember there was a game. Was it last week? A week before? I saw something on like ESPN Stats and Info, right? Where it was Eagles had zero play with motion at the snap tonight, right? There are things coming out about the Eagles, the way they're going about their offense, that makes you think maybe Hurts is not being put in the best position to succeed.
Well, I think that, you know, with Sirianni being a new head coach, a lot of people started to judge him, Max, based on his opening press conference, right? You know how that goes. It's like, oh, God, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, it's his first press conference. Leave the guy alone. And then the offense and a young quarterback. But I think Jalen Hurts is doing everything that he needs to do to continue to grow at the position. You mentioned Jay, the Carolina Panthers. They went out there and took care of business. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts looked good early in the season against the Atlanta Falcons, which is not murderer's row type team, but you still go on the road in your first start. You're young, you deliver, you do things. And then throughout the course of the season, he just continues to get better. And that's what you're going to see with young quarterbacks. Even if this is a throwaway year, it turns out to be that way, a throwaway year for the Philadelphia Eagles, he will have grown at the position. I mean, he is, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, he is above and beyond Tua, who took his spot at Alabama. He is in front of Tua. And that says something, right? The growth is there, and his ability to continue to keep growing, we'll see about that.
We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, the biggest concern you have about your NFL team, be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Uh-oh, Key, you know what time it is. It's that time of morning. little frog in my throat every time.
Every day.
Like right around 7 o'clock. All right.
The cough button gets pressed so many times with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably because you got too much hair on your face, and when you shave, it probably gets in your mouth.
That's an interesting theory. We can explore that. Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Okay. Here is a potential concern for the Bucs. Tom Brady has, basically a sore thumb, right? Like, give or take, it's a sore thumb.
Is it his throwing hand?
Yes, it is. It's on his right hand. But here is the question. This is coming from the guy who predicted about 5 years ago that Tom Brady was about to fall off a cliff in the
Where's
next 18
guy
months.
At?
Are you doubling down?
Well, actually, if you think about it, Tom Brady, from the moment I made that prediction till now, if that's the only thing he ever did in his career, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
So you're taking credit for Tom Brady rising to the occasion.
Clearly. By the way, I was served as motivation. He was going at me on IG. All right, look. Tom Brady leads the NFL in pass attempts with 225 and completions. In pass attempts and completions and yards, by the way. 225 pass attempts. 149 completions. The next closest guys in the NFL, Herbert has 207 pass attempts. He's 20, what is he, two? Tom Brady's 44, he's double his age. Is Brady's usage a concern here? Is it a real concern or not, Keyshawn Johnson?
No, not at all. Concern, like, this isn't, he's not on a pitch count. This isn't baseball, right? It's not, I mean, this is who he is. It's no, not at all. What? I wouldn't even think twice about that, to be honest with you, Max. It's like, come on now. This dude is a machine. It's avocado lotion or whatever. No, he's using like avocado lotion to rub in the joints or something like that. It's not – he's fine. I'm not worried about his usage at all. This is how they're going to win football games. If you're worried about his usage now at 44, imagine what's going to happen when he turns 52 when he's still playing.
JR, producer Evan, says that Tom Brady is like one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. It does seem that way, but I don't know. Bad thumb on his throwing hand.
You see, I would be concerned about your comment if his sack rate was higher, right? But his O-line has kept him upright a lot. So I that doesn't really bother me. I don't really.
Man.
You know what I mean, Key? That doesn't, like, and obviously there is a running game, but Tom Brady is different. And when he's upright, he's fine. So I'm okay with that. That rate being a little bit.
Listen to this.
Think about, you said he's upright, right? Think about some of the older quarterbacks that had played. They couldn't get out of the way. Their lines were terrible.
They had to retire. Right?
Yeah. If Big Ben could just stand there and not have to move and just, like, imagine being at the amusement park. You know, the little things you throw the football through, the net and all the stuff at the little. Just imagine. Yeah. Big Ben just being able to stand there, or Tom Brady just being able to stand there and just throw the ball with no pressure, no nothing. That's what Tom Brady essentially is dealing with right now.
There's no pressure. And the eyeball test says he looks comfortable, all those kind of things. But he is on pace for, Get Up had this, he is on pace for 5,654 passing yards if it was 16 games. So, like, that's the base that we're used to. But in a 17-game season, which is what we have this year, he'd be on pace for over 6,000 passing yards. I don't know. I got to tell you
the truth.
Are
you saying they can't win with him passing?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is, like Key just said, it's not like baseball with a pitch count, but I have to imagine at a certain point the human body, especially given a certain age.
Hey, Max, let me stop you.
Yes.
I just want to stop you. Yeah. I don't want you to go all the way off the cliff again, because you was about to go there when you said, well, imagine. No, don't do that.
Save him from himself, Key.
I'm going to save him from himself.
I'm not making a prediction. I am asking a question. That's what I'm doing.
Guys, when you go home and you're thinking about these things, what makes you flirt with those type of takes on Tom
nothing.
Brady?
I just, what pops into my head when he was like bad thumb on his throwing hand. And then I was asked by someone in a production meeting, you know, do you think he's being overused? And I said, I don't think that's an issue. And then someone mentioned, hey, and so I looked into it and I was like, damn, he's leading the league in attempts and completions by a lot. He's leading the league in yards, and now he has a bad thumb and he's 44 years old. Yeah, so I start to put two and two together. Yeah.
You can do that. I'm not.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. But I'm asking, with Tom Brady, you put two and two together, you have to make sure. Wait, is that four? Are we in base 10? Are we sure that's four?
You're getting ready to win six more Super Bowls.
Six more. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, Key says John Gruden will never coach in the NFL again. But that doesn't mean his career is over. We'll explain next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Paul Feinbaum joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Paul.
Max, good morning to you. Thank you.
Well, there was a little delay there. I thought, is Paul icing me out? What did I do? All right, Paul. Key said this on First Take yesterday about John Gruden's coaching future. Said he's done in the NFL, but he could still coach again somewhere. This is Key on First Take.
Oh, he'll never coach again.
No.
Not in the National Football League.
Never.
Now, if you ask me if some college, some certain region or something like that, because they feel that certain way, they might in college, but in the pros, no.
Yeah, hey, Paul, do you think that there's potentially a region, a country, a county or a state or city that possibly would hire somebody like John Gruden and be okay with it? You know, a certain region, a certain powerful conference.
Key, it's an interesting question, and even before I answer, I want to compliment you. I've never been prouder of the comments that you have made all week about John Gruden than anything I've heard you do in your career, and you were spot on. And in terms of college football, and I know we all think of college football as a sleazy entity, and in many ways it is. However, I don't think there is a single college in this country that would get near John Gruden He is unhirable anywhere, any place.
Wow.
Paul, I kind of disagree. Don't you think in time, Paul, do you think in a couple of years when you know how things blow over and things reset, you don't think there's one college that would say, you know what, this guy could provide a pop for us, we'll bring him in? I'm just asking.
Yeah, listen, Jay, it's a great question because we've seen it all the time. But you know, most of the time that people get fired in college football, come back, it involves personal indiscretions. I've sat and listened, as I'm sure some of you have, to coaches who have fallen, and they apologize and they say their head wasn't right or their health wasn't good. They've asked for forgiveness and they've come back. And some of them, by the way, are very successful. John Gruden is a completely different story because, you know, we haven't heard him say anything yet other than a very disingenuous apology to the first set of allegations. But I don't know how he can undo this. And I'm on college campuses every weekend, and as much as there is a hunger to win, college presidents ultimately – have to answer to a board of trustees, and I can't imagine. I mean, I'm not. I don't think at this point in my career I've suddenly gone into a naive shelter. I just can't imagine it happening, considering how many facets of society that John Gruden has touched in just what we know now, and we haven't heard anything other than a canned statement that no one in their right mind would believe. We haven't heard John Gruden address this, and until that happens, I mean, I think this is a difficult question to answer, but I feel pretty comfortable right now, even on the sleaziest street in college athletics, that an athletic director and a president could look at each other and sit up there with John Gruden, knowing how many how many facets of society he's upset. And he's offended every part of society. So I don't think you can walk this one back. I really don't.
Paul and Jay, question for both of you on John Gruden. Would you allow your son to play for John Gruden at all whatsoever? Can he come into your house, Paul and Jay, and sit down and convince you your little Johnny mm-hmm. and little Billy is going to be okay on our campus?
Hell no. Go ahead, Paul.
So it's an easy. It's
That's
an
easy for me.
It's easy.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Listen, I didn't know him like you guys did. I met him a few times at events, and I mean, I always felt like, I always felt the slime coming off of his face
onto
my
coach.
Jacket. No, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. 4 years ago, Tennessee fans wanted John Gruden badly. They called them the groomers. And I asked John about that one time in an interview, and he laughed about it. The connection was he had been there many years ago. I think his wife had been a cheerleader or was from that area. But, yeah, listen, every college campus is desperate right now, and they've hired some losers. We all know that. But I just think he's done. And, Keyshawn, college and pro football are different in many respects. And we know he can't coach in pro anymore for obvious reasons. But colleges are a little bit different. And for those who don't follow it like we do, you could always get that outlier, the guy who says, you know what, I'm going to hire Bobby Petrino. I don't care that he's lied and cheated at the previous stop. I'll bring him in. And that's happened a couple of times. Just ask Lamar Jackson. He played for him a couple of years ago. But I think this is a completely different situation. Yeah. You have to show you have to be remorseful, and you also have to have there has to be at least 1 ounce of remorse in your body, and I don't think John Gruden has that.
Paul, if let's say hypothetically 6 months from now, John Gruden does a sit down with somebody, shows contrition, articulates the fact that, hey, look, I know that's shocking, right? Shows contrition, John Gruden, but saying that, hey, look, this was a couple years ago, I made some mistakes. I thought I was having private conversations with friends. I said things that were not right. They were not right. But I feel like I deserve a second chance. Do you think after time, knowing that he can win at the collegiate level, you still don't think even after a set of contrition that somebody would take a shot on him?
It better be the Oscar-winning performance of the century, because I don't even want to watch it. I've done interviews like that before, Jay, and I'm not going to go over every level because you've already talked about it for 3 days. But if you go over every level and every aspect of life that he has offended, I can't imagine. Saying you're sorry doesn't do it. That's who he is. There's no mystery. Everybody makes mistakes. I'm no better than anybody else, I can assure you. And I'm not giving a sermon here on a Thursday morning. And I think people do deserve a second chance for making a mistake or saying something that maybe people misunderstood, or maybe you meant it and feel remorse. But I rarely give statements like this, Keyshawn, and I think it's a fair question, but I don't think it's possible. I do not think it's possible for this man.
I'm curious, is it because when you mentioned he offended everybody, I think if someone says something offensive about black people, gay people, whoever it is, I'm offended. I don't have to be black or gay to be offended. You know, I think human beings, conscientious people with social should be offended. Is it that, or is it that it's what Key said when Key said he's a bad person? It's a pattern of, like, the emails. It's not a one-off. It's over an 8-year period that speak to some identity that's kind of intrinsic to who he is, not just, oh, he blew off some steam one time and said something he shouldn't have.
Max, that's exactly it, because I mean, I have made idiotic comments on this network before, and as I said them, I realized I shouldn't have, and I've tried to deal with it, and we all have. I mean, there's no way you can sit in front of a microphone and do what any of us do and not walk into it sometimes. But there's a difference between making an inappropriate comment or even making a ridiculous comment that offended people and being a bad person. This is a bad person. And I'm probably most surprised by all the people, not all the people, but some of the people who stood up and blatantly defended him early on and gave all the usual cliches. And we know who they are because they were on national television over the weekend because... Yeah, I never worked with the guy. I just met him a couple of times. You know him, Key. The rest of you have been around him. This is who he is, and that's not really a judgment. I mean, he's got a resume now, and he cannot outrun what he has said and done. It's up to him. I really don't care what happens to him, but I wouldn't, as somebody who went to a college, I don't want him at my college. I can tell you that right now.
Mm. Speaking of college football, big game this weekend, Kentucky in Georgia. Can Kentucky upset Georgia? Is there any chance?
Yeah, I mean, who would have predicted at the midpoint of the season, and I'm heading there tomorrow, that Kentucky and Georgia is the premier game of the weekend? But it is. I don't think so, Key. They are really tough. I mean, they're a physical football team, and they manhandled LSU the other night, but I'm not sure manhandling LSU is really going to get you very far in the college football conversation right now. That the Ed Ogeron story may be for another day, not too far in the near future, but he only won the national championship 2 years ago with Joe Burrow. But Kentucky, I just don't think, can generate a lot of offense. Georgia's defense, Key, if you haven't had a chance to watch them, I mean, they are unbelievable. They are simply something to see. They don't need to score more than 10 or 12 points in a game because their defense is not giving up anything.
Paul, who's your top four right now? Do you have Alabama out?
I do, and it's probably the weirdest top four ever because we don't really know very much, even though we're at the 7-week mark. But yeah, I think we have Georgia right now and everyone else, and I think Iowa certainly is in the number two position. And then, you know, do you put Cincinnati in there? Do you put Oklahoma? Alabama would be probably number five right now. I think the problem for Alabama, they're still a really good football team, and could they beat some of the teams in front of them? Probably. But the problem for Alabama is if they get to the end of the season unscathed, and they probably will, how are they going to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game? And they are going to have to do that, Jay, well, there's no mulligans now for them. They've already blown it. And at this point, a couple of injuries here and there can change everyone's perspective. But right now, I don't see Alabama doing it.
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, of course, is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up and fans are hyped. Crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, slap on a fresh coat of face paint, and return to glory with an all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Thank you, as always, Paul.
Paulie.
All right, Paul.
The biggest concern the head of the NFL Players Union has when it comes to the Washington football team investigation, that is after SportsCenter. Kyrie Irving said Wednesday he didn't want to lose salary or a chance to compete for a championship with the Nets, but was doing, quote, what's best for me by refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Irving took to Instagram to defend himself a day after the Nets decided that Irving wouldn't be with the team because he isn't eligible to play in home games.
I had to stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to, speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things. And don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate.
Diana Taurasi scored 18 of her 20 points after halftime, including 8 in overtime, to help the Phoenix Mercury to a 91-86 win over the Chicago Sky on Wednesday night's game 2 of the WNBA Finals. Brittany Griner tied her playoff career high with 29 points as the Mercury evened the series at 1. Game 3 is Friday in Chicago and can be seen on ESPN2 at 9 p.m. Eastern. And the two best teams in baseball during the regular season meet for one game to decide who moves on to the NLCS. The Dodgers will send lefty Julio Urias to the mound, while the Giants match with 24-year-old right-hander Logan Webb. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. I'll be talking about these stories and more on This Just In today at 2 p.m. on ESPN. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. College football's heating up. And Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward. Whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us, Goodyear, more driven. Bomani Jones had Damaris Smith, the executive director of the NFLPA, on The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast yesterday. We're going to hear what D. Smith had to say. But first, good morning, Bomani.
Morning, man. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
What's up, Bo?
Hey, man. You know, a little early, but I rock with y'all.
That's it. So here's what Damaris Smith had to say yesterday when asked what concerns him that will come out of the investigation into the Washington football franchise.
What I'm interested in is there correspondence that suggests that teams are making decisions about coaches based on the color of their skin? Are they actively hostile to players who have chosen to self-identify in various ways? Are they denigrating, people based on sexual preference or religious identity?
Bomani, what's your overall takeaway from your conversation with D. Smith?
Well, I thought first, I'm curious to talk to all kinds of people about, so what else do you think are in the emails? Because no matter who you are, no matter what your cause, no matter what your agenda, after you saw what Gruden said, and there's 650,000 emails, you're like, yo, I wonder if there's something about me. Like, I have so many, little things about that team and bigger, larger questions where I'm like, huh, I wonder if there's an email about that one. The trick bag for this, though, is that, and I thought about this when he said it, and I asked him during the interview, I was like, you would like for those emails to be released? Is that simply a request? And he said, yes, because they don't have any power to necessarily compel this. Like, they can just ask, like, hey, we sure would like to see these emails. And the NFL, obviously has no incentive to distribute what they have out to people, but I think they played themselves. And trying to get John Gruden out, and I would still love to know exactly why it is that they chose to destroy him. And trying to get him out, they exposed to everybody that they have this and they're willing to put it out. So now people are going to be out there asking for them to put it out, and that's not going to be good for them.
Bro, that's what I've been saying the whole time. That was the first thing I said when all this stuff came out about John Gruden. It's what is the NFL it feels like they're trying to hide something about the bigger conversation, considering that this was originally an investigation into the Washington football team.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're necessarily – I don't think they're trying to show everybody what's going on with the Washington football team, but I don't even necessarily think they're trying to hide it because they've had this stuff and none of us thought about it. Like, there's so much chaotic news in the world that moves that I had forgotten this investigation had been done and that there had already been the $10 million fine and that Dan Snyder didn't have day-to-day control of the team. Like, I'd already forgotten about all of those things, and that's what gets us here. But they appear to have chosen to weaponize that in order to move out John Gruden. And Gruden, I'm good with him being gone, but I am very curious who woke up and decided that today was his day.
And for what reason, right? Like, why John Gruden? Why was it? Because, Bomani, your calculation here is very interesting. The amount of shine they're giving this investigation now and the over 600,000 emails, no one was thinking about it. So what was the impetus? Why the urgency to move Gruden out?
I do not get it. I will not get it, although I will say they provided a blueprint for anybody else they decide to do this to. Like, once they put out the first email, hey, man, just go ahead and quit right then because there's more. Just you wait.
Bomani, how do we turn the corner now, though, right? I mean, everybody's looking for the NFL for answers. I got some questions of my own that I want to know, but I'm sure I'll never get them. So how do we move on from this? How do we turn the corner?
Oh, man, I don't really think that we or anybody else get to make a decision on this one. I don't think this corner is getting turned for quite a while. I would not be surprised if we see more things come out of this because apparently – with the LA Times having their hands on emails from a different lawsuit and now the push from the former cheerleaders who are suing, this could very easily be the beginning of a scandal. Like, I don't think that this is going to be a matter of we get around, we get another week of football game, and then everything goes away. I don't see this. I also imagine that there are a lot of people at wherever the places are that have this information. There's always somebody with their own agenda who wants somebody else to wind up going down. Like, I try to tell people when everything happened with George Floyd and all of this last summer, what we learned is that younger people who worked at offices were the ones who were pushing a lot of this stuff. And they can very often be the ones who get their hands on things and then put them out because they don't feel like the company they work for represents the values that they claimed that they did in the first place. I would not be surprised if little by little, day by day, week after week, we find out more and more and more about what's in that trove of emails because there's just too much stuff that's potentially there for people, I think, just to quit and walk away.
Bomani Jones, host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What do you think this says about where the NFL is overall right now and when it comes to these type of major issues that we have in just diversity, just LGBT community, just everything that we deal with on a daily basis?
So I think, and I know I felt this way definitely about 20 years ago, probably more about 10 years ago, where we could look at a lot of things that happened in this country with regards to race and everything else, and I don't want to say that those things wound up happening by accident, but you hear a lot of people that say that it's the race, not class thing. And I had believed for a significant stretch of time that, man, white people weren't really talking about us and like thinking about us like that when we weren't around. They was too busy doing other stuff. Clearly, they're not. Clearly, these things are not just things that happen lately or accidentally for a lot of people. A lot of these things are at the top of their minds, and that's what moves and motivates the decisions that they wind up making. Like, you could try to separate this email chain with these two CEOs and with Bruce Allen, the brother of a senator, the son of a Hall of Fame coach, and with John Gruden. You could just try to act like that's just joking and it doesn't affect anything else they do, but that becomes borderline impossible. And so what you're seeing is that this league and the power structure of it that has stayed so white and stayed so male, when you do that, it gets built in and people can just sit around and talk like this, and these kinds of things, they reinforce themselves, and it really becomes like a mantra and company motto for the place that you work. When people just feel like they can just sit around on the company email. Oh, stupid Bruce Allen messed it up for everybody just by not putting it on Gmail. But these guys knew that he was doing the same thing. And so what I think you're fundamentally going to learn about this is the attitude that undergirds a lot of what a bunch of these teams actually do. And it's not just, oh, man, we're just out here looking for the best person, da-da-da. No, man, these are who these people appear to be. Somebody has hired them knowing that these are these people, because I see no reason why Bruce Allen had to hide who he was around the office. This is who they are, and that means this is what this league is.
Yeah, you want to know why Mike Mayock says Carl Nassib is a community of one as an openly gay player? Well, this is the culture in which he is existing, and that's among the power structure, the people who decide on jobs. Bomani, excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks for hopping on with us this early in the morning.
Appreciate you,
bro. Go back to sleep.
All right, man. You guys be good.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Time for Real or Not Real. Everyone's talking about the Chiefs' issues after losing three of their last four, so we found concern for a bunch of contenders. We're going to play Real or Not Real. Evan, do the honors.
Yeah, Real or Not Real is brought to you by Trico. Trico has been the future of wipers since 1917, keeping you a step ahead of Mother Nature. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. Let's get going. Let's start with the Chiefs' concerns. Is Patrick Mahomes trying to do too much? Is that real or not real, Key?
Real. But I don't blame Patrick Mahomes because the defense is horrible. Yes. And he believes that he needs to figure out how to get it done on the offensive side of the ball for them. You know, and look, he's thrown six interceptions this year. In 15 games a year ago, he had six interceptions. So I understand, I get it, but you got to slow things down and just take it the easy way.
Look, when it's a shootout every single night and your defense is giving up a ton of points playing that soft coverage, right, that limit the home run balls that Mahomes is able to thrive upon, of course he's going to have to do a lot, Key. He has to do a lot. He's making up so much ground for the horrific defense. Like that's real, but I agree with the Key. That's on the Chiefs. That's not on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't think it is real. I think that he's gotten away with a few in the past, and that's sometimes the luck cuts the other way. They haven't had a lot of downfield opportunities. But I think the O-line needs to gel and the defense needs to play better. Spagnuolo's defense usually does. And I think this is all going to work itself out. They're about to go on a big winning streak.
You can play along on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's the biggest concern you have for your NFL team? Key, the Bucs secondary. Is that concern real or not real?
Not real. And the reason it's not real is because the help will come. They're just sitting around waiting for the help to get healthy. You can look at it a couple different ways. You can say it's real right now, but the reason I say it's not real is because they're winning football games, and I think Tom Brady knows that the secondary is struggling right now, and they will come back and be ready to go on a strong push toward the end of the season and into the playoffs.
You see, I'll say not real just because I think Tom loves this kind of stuff, right? If somebody were to ask you, hey, how's your hand feel? Like, oh, I feel fine. But you know what? I'm going to tell everybody, my thumb's a little sore. It feels something. Feels like he's been in the injury report his entire career because he wants to play into that. Oh, he's not 100%. He's not going to be able to do the things he's going to be able to do. Time will be fine.
I'm saying real. Keyshawn Johnson's been on here since after week one saying, look at the secondary. I'm just telling everybody the defense isn't the same. Now, that doesn't mean the Bucs ain't going to win. It just means there's no perfect team. There's a weakness on every team. This is a weakness for the Bucs.
Yeah, right now, but it's not real because I'm looking toward the end of the season. I know that they can win enough games with Tom Brady at quarterback. I'm not going against him at all whatsoever. And then once they get these guys back, they're going to be right there with the Dallas Cowboys, right there with Arizona, right there with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC.
Yeah. Speaking of Arizona. Is the Cardinals' air raid offense a real or not real concern down the stretch?
real or not real concern down the stretch? I'd say, is it real or not real for them or somebody else?
Them.
It's real. I'd say it's a real offense. They've decided to implement the running game and make it more portable. They didn't have that before. For whatever reason, Cliff Kingsbury decided in the offseason to take a self-scouting look and say, you know what, we need to run the ball better so we can have a better opportunity late in the year. As you get into the final stretches, making playoff runs and trying to get into the playoffs and making it to the playoffs, you've got to be able to run the damn ball. You wind up in places like a Green Bay or a Chicago, for instance, in a playoff game, and you can't run, you're going to be in trouble when you can't run the football at all. Now this offense is a little more portable. Portable means it could travel anywhere.
So the concern is not real. Got it. Jay?
Yeah, the concern is not real. As long as Kyler Murray stays healthy, obviously they add the addition of running the ball. Rondale Moore helps, another deep threat. But Kyler Murray staying healthy, this team was off to a 5-0 start last year before they went off a cliff, right, to a degree, for them to be 8-8. His health will dictate how high they can go.
And that's why I'm going to say it is a real concern, because his health was affected because he, like, once his shoulder got hurt, they stopped running him so much. He's a little guy. And Key, you're right, they're running the ball, but the most effective runner they have is Kyler Murray. Like, by far, when he's running the ball, it's impossible, which you would think increases the likelihood of injury. So that's what the concern is for me, just injury of Kyler Murray.
All right, real or not real? Is
See,
this
I got
a
that
real...
all wrong, but whatever.
We got
it
you,
happens.
Key.
I got
we
the
pick
last
you
one
up. Next play. Next play. Let's go. Here we go. Next play. Real or not real? Is Baker Mayfield's inability to win late games a real or a not real concern for the Cleveland Browns, Key?
I think it's a real concern for the Cleveland Browns. You know, he's got to do a better job down the stretch at closing out games in delivering the football to the right guy. The right guy is OBJ. I don't know anybody else you want to throw the football to in crunch time situations other than number 13. If you cannot find number 13, then you are blind.
Yeah, I agree with you, Key. It's real. Last year, that's what we talked about, right? When OBJ went out, saying, okay, he's not fixated on OBJ anymore. He can actually go through his progressions. But now since OBJ is back in, you find him being fixated on him, but still doesn't find him in those big moments. I think he can do it, but as of right now, that's real.
From what I've seen so far, it's a real concern, and it goes back to even last year. They have no chemistry. Like, this is not – he's not – Baker Mayfield's not blind. He and Odell have no chemistry. The Browns would be wise to trade Odell to get and get another receiver. You need chemistry with by far your best receiver. They don't have it. That's real or not real. You can play along. What's the biggest concern you have about your NFL team? Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line and Twitter feed. Much more on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, heading to ESPN News on TV.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.